always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Debate Night 2024. Welcome back to News Talk STL, the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. We are live and on location once again at the famous Johnny's Hideout in beautiful High Ridge. Chris Arps, it is debate night, and we are ready to roll.
I am pumped up, man. This feels like to me during my childhood when you used to have the big heavyweight fights, George Foreman, Ali, Frazier, and especially later when they used to put on a pay-per-view, and that there'd be all the hype and all the build-up for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then the night finally came that the fight was going to happen. And that's how I feel with this. I'm excited about the debate tonight. I'm excited that we're at Johnny's Hideout. I'm excited that we're going to have a huge crowd here tonight to watch the debate. This is fantastic, man. I love it.
It really is. It is the All-Star Game, the Super Bowl. It's the seventh game of the Stanley Cup. It's the last game of the World Series all along. Because, Chris, as you pointed out many times, and I agree, this could be it. Yeah. I would love to have another debate. The American people deserve another debate. All we're going to get is this incredibly, look, let's be honest. This thing tonight is so rigged. This is the height of election interference. But Donald Trump, he couldn't say no because this may be his one and only opportunity. The bounds that they're going to protect Joe Biden tonight, all of this, Chris, is geared for Joe Biden to have one soundbite so they can play that all day tomorrow and declare he won the debate.
Yeah, and there's supposed to be another debate that is scheduled for September, but I'm not going to hold my breath for that debate, especially if Joe Biden doesn't have a good performance tonight. This may be the one and only debate that we have. Tim, I tell you, there's three things that I'm looking for tonight in this debate. One, will Trump follow the rules as much as he can follow the rules? That's something I'll be looking at. Two, will Biden show stamina, give clear, concise answers, and how will he look, particularly in the last 30 to 45 minutes of this debate? Will he look tired? Will he start slurring his speech? I'll be looking at that. And will the moderators, will they be fair with their questions, especially when it comes to turning off the mics? That's going to be very interesting to see how all that plays out. So that's the three things that I'm going to be focused on mainly tonight.
I'll answer your last question first. They will absolutely not be fair. That's not what they're there for. The communications wing of the DNC is what CNN is. I think Donald Trump should make his own rules tonight. He should say what he needs. He has to say what he needs to say. And Chris, he's got plenty to say. All he needs to do is talk about how great things were during the 3 years of Donald Trump before the Fauci flu, before the COVID pandemic, and then he needs to compare that with what has happened in the 3 years hence. We have a very fragile, systemically broken economy. We have crime raging across our country. We have a broken southern border whereby every state has become a border state. Americans are literally suffering under Joe Biden's yoke, and we are no longer respected or feared on the international world stage.
You know, one of the questions, Tim, that I'm going to have for our 420 guest, Steve Bucci from the Heritage Foundation, is does he think that foreign policy is going to get a lot of attention here in this debate? And I'm going to ask Steve also if he was one of the moderators, one of the questioners of this debate. And from his background as a, you know, military and foreign policy expert, what would he ask these two candidates?
Absolutely.
Regarding, you know, their military and foreign affairs?
Absolutely. As Chris pointed out, we have a jam-packed show for you. Let me give you all the housekeeping and all the details. We are broadcasting live. As you can probably tell, we've got folks coming in already. We've got some famous notables that have already rolled into the door. We do have the famous Johnny Dowse here. He's going to talk to us in just a second. Yes, there is a Johnny of Johnny's Hideout. He's sitting right here. If you're watching us, if you're streaming us on Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, ScrewTube, or anything else, you can watch Johnny, Chris, and I, and Joey. We are all here. We're inside. We're in the cool confines of Johnny's Hideout. We're going to broadcast 4 to 6 live. Then Chris and I are going to take a little break. We're going to get some of those famous Johnny Douse chicken wings and those crack fries. And then around 7 o'clock, we'll open up the doors for everybody. We'll have the food going. 7:30, we've got a little main stage here. And many of our hosts and producers are going to be here to talk to you all. Chris and I will wrap things up right before 8 o'clock. And then Johnny's going to crank up all the televisions. And we are going to watch this showdown live. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of folks here. Representative Adam Schwadron has wandered in. He's running for Secretary of State this year. We got some other candidates here as well. We have Eric Swanson. We have Eric Swanson from Neustedter's Fine Jewelers, another one of our fine advertisers. And I saw
Joe Maddock is running for state rep out in Jefferson County.
Joe Maddock is here as well. And Larry Connors.
Larry.
The living, he hates when I say this, the living legend, Larry Connors is here. And you know where he is? He's already bellied up to the bar.
He's getting a Diet Coke, I think.
Probably, with maybe some adult soda in there as well. So we've got Johnny Douse here in just a second. Rick Pogue is going to join Johnny and us at 5:05. As Chris mentioned, we're going to talk about foreign affairs, international relations, the southern border at 4:25 with Steve Bucci, and whether or not it should impact tonight's debate, but will the CNN moderator steer clear? Because that is fraught with landmines for Joe Biden. Chris's Corner at 4:45. Speaker's stump speech will incorporate Rick and Johnny at 5:07. The St. Louis Young Republicans will feature Frank Catanzaro joining us at 5:25. Chris, how about we bring Johnny into the conversation?
Let's bring Johnny in. First of all, Johnny, I want to say that I was hungry. I hadn't ate anything before I came in, so I was starving. So I got the burger and the crack fries, and man, I'm telling you, that was one of the best. You know, you can always get a pretty good burger at a bar and grill. You kind of expect that, but you take it to a whole nother level. Seasoned. I didn't have to put any salt on, and my wife will tell you, I season my food to death because it's never seasoned enough for me. It was absolutely perfect.
Well, thank you. We sell a lot of burgers.
Yeah, they're very good.
About it. And the crack fries are addicting, like crack. That's why we call them crack fries. But, you know, a lot of people say they're not good for their waistline, but I said you always have a cheat day. So
there you go.
Exactly.
We pride ourselves on our food here. I mean, it's unfortunately, you know, when I talked about some of the things that my great bartenders and servers do is everybody serves the same Budweiser. Everybody serves the same Jim Beam. Everybody serves the same Stoli vodka.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, it takes other things to get people coming in. And, you know, my girls have great personalities and they make sure everybody's taken care of. But we have to keep them coming back with good food. And that's what we do here. And we're constantly moving and shaking. We added a char grill inside.
Yes.
You know, so our burgers are charred and our steaks are charred, now char grilled. Tuesday, Jake went down to Union, Missouri, and our friends at Kenrick Meat Company turned us on to the people that make their barbecue grills.
Okay.
So I called them up, and they made me a nice barbecue grill that I can grill outside. Now, I'm not a smoker. I never liked that. I mean, don't get me wrong. Not that I didn't like it. I didn't personally like smoking meat. I like Sugar Fire and other places, Super Smoke, because they have great food. But I'm a barbecuer. That's how when I was 18 years old.
You're a grill master.
Right. When I was 18, we had a barbecue restaurant, and it was a grill, an inside brick grill with hickory wood and the whole works. So I got a nice grill out there, and we broke it in last night on our bike night. I did these pound and a half turkey legs.
Holy smokes. I saw the pictures of those.
Right.
Johnny, you all be celebrating. I can't believe it. You'll be celebrating your 2-year anniversary this fall. It's just right around the corner.
Right.
And every time I'm here, I make new friends. I see new people. I see VIPs. I see everyday Joe and Jane's. This is a great place where everybody gets treated well and you have fantastic food. Is Johnny's Hideout becoming the place that you envisioned that you wanted it to be?
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, even when I was down in Soulard and some other places, you know, we were down in Soulard for 35 years total, but Johnny's was there 23. And when we were selling and we were having like our last 2 weeks of last hurrah, I had people come in and said they'd never been there.
Holy smokes.
You know, they said, well, we didn't really get down to Soulard much. And when we did, we went to McGurk's or we did it. So it, even though it's coming up on 2 years, there's still a lot of people out there that don't know about us, don't know where we're at. We're trying to still get the word out when I'm out, which isn't much because I'm here all the time. But when I'm out, I try to hand out cards and like, where is this? And, you know, and you explain. And then a couple weeks later, you see the people like, well, this is great. I didn't even know you were out here. And but they'll find out. Like I said, word of mouth is your best advertisement. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, when you do have good things, good service, good food, cold beer, people will find you. And in the music venue is with the Sunset Stage last night. The way the weather was, it was almost like people were taking a picture of a fake sunset out there behind the stage.
Wow.
That's why we called the Sunset Stage. And MC PJ told everybody, hey, if you ever want to get a great picture of a sunset, now's the time, which we did. And it turned out really good. And the weather cooperated last night. So everybody was outside having fun, listening to the band. And I sold out of my turkey legs.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Johnny, I have a couple of high school friends that come here on bike night. I see the pictures. It's crowded. Every time we come here, it's crowded as well. Give us an idea of the food that you go through in a week. How much beer? How many burgers? How many wings? What would you say?
Well, we do just on one particular night when we do our BOGO burgers and brews is on Tuesday night. We do a 2-for-1 special on everything. So you get your, if you're coming with a friend or you come with your spouse or girlfriend, you order 2 burgers, you get one free. You order 2 Budweisers, you get one free.
Okay.
So it's called our BOGO Burgers and Brews Night. And on that night in particular, we'll probably go through about 140 to 150 burgers just on that night.
Holy smokes.
And they're big 8-ounce burgers. We're not skimping.
Don't give any secrets away, of course, but how do you make money doing that?
You hope on the rest of the nights that people want to come in besides just that night alone. Because we do specials almost every single night. On Monday night, we do a $3, you call it, for drinks.
Sure.
And Tuesday, we do that. And then Wednesday, we have our bike night. Thursdays is our steak night where you get a really nice steak dinner for under $25. Okay. Friday and Saturdays are our music nights. And then Sundays, we do a Southern fried chicken plate here that's knock your socks off. And with this new grill, I'm going to start probably doing my pork steaks or ribs or something on Saturday too for specials. And of course Wednesday night I'll switch it up, keep the turkey legs on, maybe add some brats for when people want to on grab and go on the bike night. Right.
Johnny, I'm looking at the specials here on the website, jhideout.com. Folks, we're at Johnny's Hideout, broadcasting live in beautiful High Ridge. Johnny, this is, this is a bar and grill, but I consider this an upscale bar and grill. The ambiance is fantastic. The ladies and the servers, the wait staff, the bus boys, everybody's so friendly and so welcoming and warm. The TVs are everywhere. I love the high tops and these specials you've got. I mean, fried chicken sundaes. You've got the, listen to this, sick on Monday nights, 16-ounce White Castle stuffed bone-in pork chop. Wow. And then tonight, steak night. You got the chef's choice cut with green beans, loaded mashed potatoes. I mean, you got the bar menu, but it's more than that, right?
Correct.
Much more than that.
And a lot of people don't even know about our shrimp dishes. We have great shrimp dishes here. And
a lot of Cajun stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And that's there was being in Soulard, I learned from some very good people, and I investigated on my own about, I have my gumbo and my red beans here, and we'll do our, I kind of watch the national days, like Tuesday was National Catfish Day, if you didn't know.
Okay.
So I did a Creole Cajun catfish poor boy.
Oh, baby.
On Tuesday, good. Which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so we try to keep an eye on, do some different things here besides that. And like you said, that steak we're having tonight's an 8-ounce king cut sirloin with my grandma's green beans and loaded mashed potatoes.
Delicious. Mm-hmm.
Johnny, we're having a debate here tonight. As a business owner and as an American, what are you expecting to hear from these candidates tonight?
Well, probably from the wrong one will be about a bunch of lies.
Right.
And from his whole party. And from, you know, the thing about our candidate, Trump, is he's not a politician. He's a business guy that saw things that were wrong. He saw a lot of things that were wrong. And that, you know, I'm sure early in his career, you know, when he was trying to build, they were, people would say, why don't you run for president? He probably laughed it off. But after a while, you know, when you're in business, you know, no matter if you're at his, you know, stature or ours, you kind of get sick and tired of everything. And my partner, Rick, you know, and Jake, my partners, Rick and Jake, they kind of hit it on the head the other night when we were having another event here that for years you think, oh, I can't change anything.
Right.
But you can.
You can get involved.
Yeah. And you have to get involved, and you have to get involved with the right candidate. And if you pick a person and it's not right, then go with the other guy. I mean, you don't know until you get involved. And I think that's one of the things you really have to do is get involved. And I'm sure Trump maybe ran at one point not thinking he was ever going to win. But after a while, people get sick and tired. When Ross Perot was running, you know, it was like he was independent, but he was a businessman. And people that were in business were like, hey, this probably isn't a bad idea. You know, Trump had no agenda. He had his own money. He didn't need any, you know, he wasn't being bought off by anybody. You know, so I really do think, you know, that the reason and people get jealous of that, you know, there's a lot of envelopes handed out under the table that he didn't need and that he knew other people didn't need. And he corrected a lot of that and people didn't like it.
Yeah, Johnny, I think I want to hit on something that I want to highlight something that you just hit on. And I think that's why a lot of small business owners like you and Rick and Jake and so many others, what they like about Trump is, look, sometimes when you come into a situation, whether it's a bar and grill or a bank or an automotive store, or whatever, if things are completely and utterly effed up, if they're just totally screwed up, sometimes you got to break things, right, to rebuild them again. And I think that's – people think the country's broken, don't they?
Right.
And I think that's what the attraction to Trump is. He's going to cut – he owes no one anything. He's coming here because he likes America, and he really wants to try to break things and rebuild them better.
And I do think people just thought that was a slogan, make America great again, and it wasn't. It was something he really and still does believe in, and I think he really still wants to do it, and he's coming off the ropes every day. I mean, he comes off the ropes every day swinging because they don't allow him to do anything else. They're, you know, of course they did all that BS with the trial so he couldn't go out and campaign. That was all that was. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't want him out there, you know, but he still gets out there, and and some people might say, well, he shouldn't be on social media as much as that. Well, that's the age we live in now. Right. This country's upside down. I think he can turn it right side up.
And he showed that he did that in the first term.
Absolutely. Right. That's Johnny Douse. We are at Johnny's Hideout, jhideout.com, Johnny's Hideout STL on Facebook. Johnny, I think you're going to come back with partner Rick Pogue around 5:05. We'll let you get back to the bar and the grill. Until then, thanks for having us. We love being here. We love the support we get from you guys, and we love trying to drive people to Johnny's Hideout.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Johnny.
Right. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you very much. That's Johnny. We'll be back with us at 5:05. Chris, I believe we've got our good man Steve Bucci coming up next.
Steve Bucci is next, and Steve Earp has entered the house. Hide the women and children.
Ah! I wonder if you heard that. Very good indeed. All right, Chris and I will be back right after this with Steve Bucci. He is, of course, visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation, focuses on cybersecurity, international relations, military special ops, and more. He is our man, always on a mission. He'll join us next to talk about what should they discuss national security and international relations-wise at this debate. What do we need to hear from the candidates back with that and more? The Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show at Johnny's Hideout, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Concerns are growing in the Middle East of a widening war, with Iran-backed Hezbollah threatening to retaliate against Cyprus now if it helps Israel attack Lebanon. The Hezbollah leader saying Cyprus would be, quote, part of the war if it allowed Israel to use its airports and bases. Ports in Cyprus are being used to deliver aid to Gaza, but the U.S. ambassador to Cyprus is declining to say whether the country is also being used as a transit stop to send U.S. weapons to Israel.
4:29, and welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. We are live at Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge, and of course, we'll be having our presidential debate party tonight, so we look forward to seeing you tonight, and come on out, and we will see what if the two candidates are up to all of the hype. Our next guest is Steve Bucci, and he's a fellow of the Heritage Foundation, and I'm wondering if there's going to be a lot of foreign policy and military questions after the debate. We'll ask him next.
Steve Bucci, visiting fellow for special ops at the Heritage Foundation.
Oh, yes. What were you about to ask me? expect me to talk?
And usually at this time, we do have Steve Bucci, and we will work on getting him on the line. He's there?
Yep, I'm here.
Well, Steve, how are you, Steve?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. We've got a little technical things going on. We are broadcasting live tonight at Johnny's Hideout for a big debate party. So we're glad to have you on the line with us. Steve, I want to ask you, as a military and foreign affairs expert, if you were one of the moderators at the debate tonight, what question or questions would you ask?
Well, boy, I have a bunch of them. I'd like them to answer how whoever takes office on January 20th is going to fix the broken problem at the border. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that President Biden would say, what problem at the border? The border's fine. To which I would say, no, sir, it's not. It's a disaster. There's millions of people have come in with little or no vetting. Some of them have, court hearings that are out 10 years in the future. And there's several thousand, at least, if not tens of thousands, who have gotten away. And we don't know who they are, where they came from, what their purpose in coming here is. But you got to know that if they're willing to go the extra effort to get away from the guys that are going to help them assimilate once they get here, the Border Patrol, our police, local authorities, they got to have something bad in mind. I mean, you've got to be suspect. So obviously I'm tipping my hand as to who I would prefer here. But I think President Trump would have an answer. I'm not so sure President Biden would be able to address it other than to say, come on, man, there's no problem here, which is just baloney.
Steve, to follow up on that, and as to one of your first points where you said that Joe Biden would just say, well, the border is secure, Steve, that's exactly along the lines as to one of the emails that the Trump campaign has churned out today, that the Trump Rapid Response Team has put out a series of topical emails regarding various different subjects that could come up tonight. And they put out a series of what they call Biden lies about the border. And I want to just read these briefly to you and tell me whether you would agree that these are misrepresentations, if we're being pleasant, that the Biden administration has been saying. They've been saying things, Steve, like the border is secure. They said that for almost 3 years before they started saying recently, well, maybe not so much. The only reason the border is not secure is because of Republicans and Donald Trump. That's number two. Number three, well, a border crisis just so happens every single year. The fourth one, we are working sure in the Biden administration that the border is safe, orderly, and humane. And last but not least, Joe Biden has said many times, I've done all I can do to secure the border. Steve, does Donald Trump need to take those things on tonight and prove once and for all that nothing that the Biden administration has said about the border has been anywhere near the truth?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, because sadly, there's about half the country who has actually swallowed all those whoppers whole and you know, will sit there and look you in the eye and say, no, that's all true. And it's not. I mean, I worked on the border for 2 years as a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Homeland Defense with 3,000 1 year and 6,000 the next National Guard volunteers down there to try and help the Customs and Border Protection people do their job. This was in 2006 to 2008 when it wasn't anywhere near the magnitude of the problem now. And I got to tell you, there's no vetting worth the name going on of any of these people. This idea that anybody can just show up, say, why do you want asylum? Well, why? Well, because things are terrible in my country. Okay, here's your chip. Come back in 10 years. And if anybody out there who thinks that's hyperbole, it's not. There are people who have been released into this country who have a court date literally 10 years from now to come back and do their asylum hearing. Does anybody really think any of those people are going to come back for a hearing when they might be thrown out? It's just, it's crazy. And then I'm not even touching on the crime, the public health issues, because none of these people have any sort of public health standing now. Remember that they were doing this stuff when the rest of us were getting locked down, and they were just coming in anytime they wanted. It's just, it's ridiculous lies that the Biden administration tells repeatedly. Secretary Mayorkas going to, you know, before Congress and just saying, no, it's all secure. And how can that man sleep with himself at night? I can't understand it. But I don't really have an opinion on any of this stuff, though.
We know your policy, not politics, of course. We're speaking with Steve Bucci, visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Steve, new intelligence indicates that a large-scale confrontation between Israel and Hezbollah is likely to break out in the next several weeks if Jerusalem and Hamas do not reach a peace deal. Do you see that happening anytime soon? And can Israel fight a two-front war right now?
I'll answer the second question first. I think they can. It would be very difficult. It would be a lot more difficult if Joe Biden doesn't support him. And, you know, he's been pretty wishy-washy about it. Though on one hand, he says, oh, no, we're giving them everything they need. That's really not true, what Netanyahu's saying. But then he makes announcements that he's delaying arms shipments to him. So I'm not sure, you know, which one of those leaders is confused, but one is leading his country in a war right now that seems to be pretty effective, though it's taken longer than anybody would like it to take, even, you know, especially the Israelis. And the other one, you know, gets lost on a stage when he's the only person around. I think Israel can do it. I wish they didn't have to. But, you know, right now they've evacuated the northern crescent of their country that borders with Lebanon to protect them from the near constant attacks that Hezbollah has been making since the war with Hamas began after the October 7th of last year's attacks. And, you know, I mean, Israel's only going to take so much. They want Hezbollah moved back from that border so that their people on their side of the border can live in peace. And Hezbollah is not shown any inclination to do that. And it tells me that Hezbollah is voluntarily putting itself in exactly the same category as their less organized buddies down in Hamas, and probably require the same type of solution. You cannot negotiate with them. You're going to have to kill them.
Folks, we're speaking with Steve Bucci, visiting fellow with the Heritage Foundation, expert on military special ops and beyond. He can be found at S. Bucci on Twitter X. Steve, the debate tonight should discuss issues that we've been just discussing here, issues of national security, the border, international relations. Although it is CNN, and all of these issues are absolute landmines for the Biden administration because they've failed in all these regards. But Steve, and in addition to the things that we've discussed, and if you want to extrapolate on some of them, that's fine. What two or three things does CNN, if they're going to be an honest broker tonight, need to bring up and ask the candidates?
One would be domestic crime. I mean, that's not my, you know, strong suit. I'm a foreign affairs guy, but, you know, I'm also a citizen, and I do security at my church and the school associated with it. I manage that. So I'm very concerned for domestic crime right now. Now, domestic crime is related to the border because, you know, I'm the first to admit most of the people coming across the border are not coming here to do criminal activity, but there's a significant number, a non-trivial number of people coming across that border who are here to do criminal activity, or when they get here, they just decide, you know what? They're obviously not arresting anybody for this stuff. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to attack minors and rape them, right, you know, in city parks. I'm going to murder co-eds as they jog around the campus of their college. And then you look at some of the cities where there's gangs coming in illegally and doing these smash and grab things and then flying back out of the country with their loot. How does that happen if the border is controlled? And how does that happen if the police are allowed to enforce our laws? When you have, you know, city DAs or attorneys general of states who are just wholesale, if people get arrested doing violent crime, they just release them because they don't think it's that significant, or they think there's other social issues involved other than the person committing the violent criminal activity. I'm sorry, that has to stop. And that sits in the lap of the President of the United States, folks, because he's the one who set the tone, and all of these officials at the state and local level are just going along with what the president is buying into. And they need to do something about it. He's the commander-in-chief, not just of our forces when they're overseas. He's the commander-in-chief of all of our law enforcement and intelligence personnel in this country as well. He needs to start acting like it.
Speaking of the border, Steve, recently 8 men from Tajikistan were arrested. We later learned that they had been apprehended before. Give us a quick primer on Tajikistan. That's not a lot of place people are booking vacations, right?
Now, Tajikistan is one of the places we lovingly in the military refer to as the Yucky Stans. was part of the Soviet Union before, a very destitute and downtrodden part. Primarily Muslim folks live there, and they they're a free country now, but they have a very large percentage of folks who are heavily radicalized. Almost all of these transnational terrorist groups like Al Qaeda, ISIS, and others have Tajik volunteers fighting with them. These are folks with a lot of time behind a gun. They have fought the Soviets. They then fought the Russians. They fought in a lot of internal fights. And now they're taking their place among the foot soldiers of radical Islam. And having them come into this country as a group, with connections to ISIS, or at least that their travel was facilitated by ISIS members, that's a bad sign, guys. Remember that, you know, the last time we had a small group of bad guys come into this country, they did a lot of damage. We're a lot better at that stuff now than we were then. But I got to tell you, if they know of 8 and they've apprehended 8, I can bet there's at least 80, maybe 800 other people like them that have come in as well. That's a scary thought.
Steve, I hate that we have to end our interview on that depressing note there, but we look forward to speaking with you again next week, as always, and getting your thoughts on tonight's debate. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. I hope you have a great night there. And remind everybody, listen to the debate and then vote. They got to do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Steve Lucci, visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Chris's Corner, when we come back, we'll talk about maybe some of the good talking points that Biden will try to bring up at the debate tonight. We'll go through those and see if they are worth anything. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arps Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Let's go to the debate side, Claire McCaskill. Just your view about the lead up this debate and what we might see tonight.
All Joe Biden has to do is come out there and be scrappy Joe Scranton and throw some haymakers. Tell him to shut up. He needs to tell him to quit lying. He needs to be a street fighter tonight. He doesn't need to be as presidential as he's inclined to try to be. And policy is great, but it's more important that he get under Donald Trump's skin. And the way you get under Donald Trump's skin is you confront him with his BS.
4:49 on the Tim Jones and Chris Sharp Show, broadcasting live at Johnny's Hideout here in High Ridge. We're going to have our debate party tonight, starting at 7 o'clock, and we will go all the way to the end. Chris's Corner we have up next. Quinn, let's go ahead and do it.
Chris.
And if you don't know, now you know.
And now, Chris's Corner.
Okay, the latest New York Times Siena College poll conducted leading up to tonight's debate finds that 60% of registered voters thought Mr. Trump would perform very or somewhat well in the matchup tonight. Only 46% said the same about Mr. Biden. Nearly half of voters anticipated a poor showing for Mr. Biden. So as we all know, the bar is laid pretty low for Joe Biden. I honestly think that he's going to do pretty well tonight. He has been out of the public eye for the last 7 or 8 days. He's been up at Camp David. They've got him plenty rested. They have gone over all of his zingers and all of that. I think we're going to see a repeat of what we saw at the State of the Union, where Joe Biden came out basically yelling at us, trying to show that he had a lot of energy. I think we're going to see that same thing again today. As we know, as Republicans, the record that Joe Biden has to run on is not very good. The White House yesterday released their talking points to the media that the president is going to hit on in the debate. There are 4 different things that they're going to hit on. One, of course, is immigration, LGBTQ rights, housing, and prescription drug prices. The president is going to talk about that there has been a 40% drop in illegal crossings from Mexico ever since Joe Biden signed his new executive order. I'm pretty sure they won't go further to say that the reason why these illegal crossings have dropped because the Biden administration has basically adopted Donald Trump's plans that he had, executive orders that he had in place. So I think that's part of the reason, of course, in the drop in cases. And I don't trust this government's accounting numbers at all. I think they're probably not even counting the majority of these people. One thing the president is going to point to, of course, June being LGBTQ Pride Month, he's going to announce, he's going to talk about the pardons that he issued yesterday for approximately 100,000 soldiers over the last 50 years who were shunned out of the armed forces because they engaged in gay sex. Sorry, that's 20,000 pardons. He will talk about that, trying to curry favor with that community, of course. One thing that they have really been stressing lately is housing. Kamala Harris announced yesterday an $85 million in federal grants to help state and local governments create or maintain more affordable housing. That is an issue that the younger generation has been talking about, how they can't afford to buy a house right now with interest rates the way that they are because of their student loans. That is one thing that they are upset about, and the administration is going to be trying to address that at these debates. And finally, prescription drug prices. We've heard that over and over and over. This has been a mantra the Democrats have used over the last few cycles. They have gotten past $35 a month insulin for senior citizens. They want to, of course, Democrats want to expand that program to basically make anyone that is diabetic be eligible for $35 insulin. The president announced, the administration announced yesterday that 64 more drugs were reduced in the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. So the president is going to try to run on all of these positives, of course. But as we know, gas prices are up, Inflation is up. People are worried about the border. People are worried about what's going on in the Middle East. People don't feel secure about their future. And as we talk about it all the time, James Carville said in 1992, it's the economy, stupid. And there have been several presidential elections since that cycle, and that has not changed. And at this stage of the game, with only a few months before the election, we're not going to be able to turn the economy around. So we see the Biden administration offering gimmicks to people, basically trying to buy their votes. We will see if that will work. We will see if it sells to the American people tonight. And that is Chris's Corner.
Chris, back to where you started, that New York Times Siena poll also gave us the broad snapshot. And look, national election polls don't matter. Only the battleground right. states do. But Trump's leading in all the battlegrounds nationally. The point I want to make is the lawfare turned out to be a loser, as we predicted. The polls narrowed during the New York Trump trial, right? To the point where Joe Biden actually was up 1 point about a month ago, around the time the conviction was handed down. All of that has been lost. That's been baked in the cake. People have realized that that was the weaponization of our judicial system, and that now every American is subject to attack by Joe Biden's DOJ, whether they did anything wrong or not. And the proof is in the pudding. Not even the New York Times can save Joe Biden at this point. Trump 48, Biden 44. You factor in RFK Jr., and the spread gets even wider, and Donald Trump's leading in all the battleground polls. So the lawfare was a loser. The only thing they got beyond that, Chris, is this mythical saving democracy thing. And on that, Trump is actually beating Joe Biden on the person that would better save our democracy. So what do they have left? Let's kill all the babies. That's what they'll go back to November.
Yeah, and it was amazing, the poll that we talked about last week that showed that 47% of Americans felt that the cases against Donald Trump were political. That's amazing.
Amazing.
When I saw that, and it's amazing.
That's a lot of independence in that.
Exactly. Almost half the American people think that these cases against Donald Trump are political. The Biden administration, the Democrats, really thought that this that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, that Donald Trump is a criminal, and that he can't be back in the White House. They thought that that was going to be a good tactic, and it's not working. And probably one of the things for the bingo card tonight is how many times will Joe Biden call President Trump a criminal?
as many times as he can. Probably the beginning of every sentence. And by the way, Chris, we have a special edition News Talk STL Debate Watch Party bingo card for everyone
tonight. Right.
I saw them out here somewhere. Joey must have squirreled them away. Now, there they are. They're right
there's
there.
Plenty of them.
We'll
too.
Have to go through those later in the program. So we have those available for you. Folks, we will be starting the big show around 7:30 tonight.
Exactly. And at 5:07, Tim, speaker, stump speech, what are you going to be talking
yes,
about?
Yes, Joe Biden fumbling and bumbling. We're going to talk about all the lies that he has issued on the economy and crime, the economy and crime edition of Fumbling Bumbling Joe Biden.
And then Johnny Doss is going to be back with us with his partner, Rick Poe. We're going to talk more about the debate, more talk about small business, and talk about the great food here at Johnny's Hideout. And then at 5:24, we'll speak with St. Louis Young Republicans Frank Catanzaro and Jamie Murphy. These are the up-and-coming young guns of the Republican Party. And good to see Frank again after the wonderful event we had Tuesday night with the Heritage Foundation guys. So looking forward to talking to Frank Catanzaro, seeing Johnny Doss and Rick Poe. Come on out to Johnny's Hideout out in High Ridge. We're going to have a blast tonight. We're going to watch the debate party. We're going to have a few cocktails. We've got bingo cards. We've got everything here, so come on out.
Why would you go anywhere else?
Why would you go anywhere else? Can't wait to see everyone and meet everyone here at Johnny's Hideout. You are listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL, Soros Free Radio.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.